Hey, what's up? Andrew Kramer here for VideoCopilot.net, and welcome to another very exciting tutorial. And I gotta say, with a name like Copilot, I should have like a jetpack or something. Instead, all I have is a stupid Segway, and always tips over. Lousy. Anyway, very exciting tutorial. We've got Sam Loya, John Jacobson, and we're gonna be creating an advanced time freeze effect as seen here on our payment plan short. We'll just take a quick look at the... Oh, no. Uh-oh. All right, so hopefully the DVD with the commentary will be coming out. It'll be very similar to that. Now, we've got this glass pieces, and we've got Sam Loya. And one of the cool things is the camera almost looks like it's orbiting around these guys. So we're going to talk about how we're going to do this. If you were to shoot it yourself, you want to be on a dolly and simply lock the camera off and, you know, slide the camera down the dolly. And if you want to check out some cool behind the scenes, go to the blog, click on the blog show, and we've got a making of payment plan, a lot of cool behind the scenes stuff and some alternate stuff as well. So check that out. And you should also check out Pro Scores. All right, back to it. Okay, so here we are in After Effects, and what I have here is some footage of Sam Loya, and we're going to take that and drop it into a new comp. And this is the trick, basically. These two guys were sitting in the car being very, very still, and the camera sort of dollies down past them. Now, what we need to do is motion track this shot. Now, ideally, you probably want to use a 3D camera tracker, but we're going to use the tip from the 3D ledge tutorial where we're going to use 2D tracking for a 3D camera. So here's what we need to do. We're going to bring up the tracker window, which is already up, and we're going to select the footage. We're going to choose track motion. So we're going to jump right into this tutorial. No wasting your time. Actually, real quick, I want to tell you this story. No, just kidding. I'll try to resist telling you too many stories because that could be trouble. So I position the motion tracker onto the lock on this door, and we'll just extend the area like that, and we're going to click on the track forward. All right, so it's done tracking, and what we want to do is create a null object, and this will be a placeholder for our data, and we'll choose edit target, make sure the null is selected, and we'll click apply. And X and Y. Okay. So, looking good. We're going to be doing a couple of different things here. First, we want to make a camera. So I'll choose Layer, New Camera, and we're going to make it 24 millimeters since that's pretty close to what we shot with. And okay. Now, the thing about this is we want to create a camera that's in 3D space from this 2D track. So check out that 3D ledge tutorial for a little bit more in-depth information. But here's basically what we're going to do. We're going to hit P, which brings up the position for that null that we just tracked. Then we're going to hit A, or Shift A. And we basically want to select all the position keyframes, edit, copy, and then click on the anchor point and choose edit, paste. And then just uncheck the stopwatch for the position, and so that we just have anchor point position offsetting. And then if we parent the camera to that null object, then we can actually create a 3D camera. Now, it may be hard to see here. Now, we're going to be creating some glass, but this technique can really be used for a lot of things. For example, I could take some text here and scale it up, and we'll make it a 3D layer. And maybe we'll move it over here and rotate it in 3D space a little bit. And check this out. We've actually got almost like 3D floating text there because we've tracked this layer. And we could do things like, we could duplicate this and maybe make a copy down here. A couple of those. Nice. And, you know, maybe just reposition them a little bit. Kind of hard to tell where things are in 3D space, but you know, you can actually do some pretty cool stuff with a simple 2D 3D tracking trick. So this guy's looking pretty good. Anyway, so think about that. And then real quick, while we're here, you know, you can throw that on there. And another interesting thing that I did, just because I could, is I took these future balls from the previous tutorial and simply set up a particle system. Shut off the glass. And basically, you know, I've created the same exact effect. We could turn the depth of field on and check it out. So even though we're going to be using 3D Max today, this concept should be interesting enough to use in other cases where you want to combine 3D looking elements in your shot and all you have is After Effects. So there's really a lot of possibilities here. So back over here, we've tracked our camera, and then I want to create a reference point. So we'll create a new null, we'll make it 3D, and we just want to move it right to that point. And this will be just our reference point. So the next thing we need to do is bring this into 3D Max. So what we're going to do is run a script called the AE3D export script. So we'll run that. And it pops up this cool box. And by the way, if you head over to aeenhancers.com, it's a great little community for expressions, scripts, presets. I read that right on the banner. And check this out. You can download it. And, you know, we're actually going to be using it. And you can use, apparently, Lightwave data in Cinema 4D. So that should help out Cinema 4D people who want to kind of follow along. Also, there's one thing that you may have to do in the general preferences is click on something in here called Allow Scripts to Write Files and Access Network, including your personal files and your family. And then you just hit OK, and that gives Adobe permission to, you know, come to your house and go through your stuff. So we're going to select the reference point and the camera, and we're going to choose 3D Max, and we'll call this B, and we'll choose Options. And one of the things in the options I want to do is turn up the world scale to 1 to 10 so that it's nice and big, and we'll choose Close, and then we'll hit Export. Make sure your work area is set there. So now it's created a script that we can then run in 3D Studio Max. So we're going to jump over to 3D Max, knock a few things out, and we'll be back here in After Effects for the final composite. All right, so here we are in 3D Max, and what we want to do is take that script, drop it into a viewport, it will run, and then we have a camera and that target null object. Now, one thing that we need to do is rotate the scene because the camera is up above looking down. So what we can do is take a dummy object, put it right here in the middle, set it to, let's make sure it's at 000. And then what we'll do is we'll take the camera and that other null, and we're going to parent it or link it to that new null object or dummy object as it's called. And then we're going to rotate it and make sure we're on lock rotation, and we're going to rotate it about 90 degrees. So what that's done now is our camera is looking much better. So the other thing I want to do is bring in the background image. So we'll choose viewport background, and we'll select the file. Now here I have a JPEG sequence of the shot, and I want to make sure it's set to sequence and choose open, and we'll hit OK. Now I want to make sure it animates in the background, and active view, which is going to be this perspective view, and we'll hit OK. Now real quick, we'll come over here to the render setup. Now we want to make sure that we're using the Mental Ray renderer. We'll select this, choose Mental Ray, and hit OK. And then also, we'll come down here to the HD TV settings, and we'll just do 1280 for now. And we'll go and close that. Then I'm going to right-click on this, and we're going to choose Show Save Frame. And I'll just make sure it stays the right aspect ratio. Okay, so we need to create some glass. So we'll right-click, go look through the camera here. And if we look through the camera, you can see that green null is staying right on the door handle like we tracked. So that's perfect. Now we need to make some glass. So we're going to zoom in here. We'll come over here to the shapes, to the line, and we just need to draw some various glass pieces. So just pop this open, and this is where you can let your creativity run wild. There we go. So we've got these four glass pieces, and we'll come over here to the modify, and I want to attach them all together. So I'm going to say attach multiple. And the reason I'm going to attach these is we're going to add a couple of effects, and this way I don't have to do it for all of them. I can just do it for one thing and choose bevel. And we'll go back over here to hit P, and we'll go to our perspective view. And we're going to just turn up the height, which will make it three-dimensional. Now, I want to convert this to an editable poly, so I'm going to right-click on it, convert to editable poly. And then I'm going to use the face selection, and we're going to select all of the faces. I'm going to come down to the bottom here, and we're going to set up the material ID. And what this is going to allow us to do is put one color on the front and back, and another color along the edges of the shape. So we want it to be a little darker on the edge and a little bit more see-through in the main part. So we're going to set the material ID to 1 for everything. And then we're just going to select right down the middle here. And we're going to set the ID for those to 2. Very good. Now, for reference, I'm going to hit M, bring up the materials. And we're going to make a multi-sub object material. And we'll just keep those maps. And for the first slot, we'll make it red. And we'll go up. And for the second slot, we'll make it blue. And so if we apply this to our shapes here, you can visually see what I was just talking about. Now, another thing I want to do is break the pieces up now that we've created them. So we'll take the object element selector, select each piece, and just choose detach. Yes, detach, detach. And then what I'm going to do is unselect that. And then we'll select all of our pieces here, come over here, and we're going to choose effect pivot and center to object. So now they have an independent center point. And finally, we're going to group those objects together. Let's call it glass and hit OK. And we can just move this out of the way. So we'll go to the view through the camera. And next, I want to create a particle system. So we'll hit the number 6. And I'm going to right-click, choose New Particle System Standard Flow. And this is a basic flow, but we're going to make several changes. So here we have the camera. And as I move forward, we can see that we have this particle system. Now, if I select the particle system, I can align it to that null object that has our reference point right on the door handle. And we'll just move it over to XYZ, and we'll hit OK. And then we can actually rotate it. Let's see, I'll zoom in here. And we'll rotate it so that it's sort of pointing out towards the camera, which would be this way. All right, so these are going to be the pieces of glass that are flying out from Sam's head. So what we want to do, I'll close that for just a second, is we want to take this particle emitter and turn the size up a bit, so that it's roughly the size of the window, perhaps. Since we're not actually creating a simulation, it's more of a fake effect, so we can kind of get away with it. So I'll bring up the particle flow again, hit 6, and we're going to change some of these things out. So first, instead of the shape, I'm going to use a shape instance. And what that means is I want to basically take an object from my scene and convert it to the particle. And we'll pick our geometry. And remember, we grouped it together, so we're going to select the particles for the group members. And it'll separate them so that it randomly picks them. Now, for the display, let's change this to geometry. So now we can see all of our particles. And then let's play around with the look. So probably turn the scale down to about 40. Maybe turn the randomness up a bit. Now for the speed, I want to turn up the divergence. So if I turn that up, then the pieces will go flying everywhere. You can turn the speed down a little bit. We'll go to the birth rate. Let's turn it up to maybe 500. I mean, that's way too much glass, but it's also pretty awesome too. So that's it kind of makes up for it. Now if we go to the top view here, we want to make sure that we see particles close to the camera and then also close to where they're being emitted. So let's turn up the emit stop to about 33. So that looks like enough particles. So we're going to reference frame 36. So let's remember that. Another thing we can do is go into the position here and just give it a new seed, and we can see some different looks as far as where the particles are. Now, one thing you'll note is that the rotation is on and it's random 3D. So without it, they're all flat. You turn it on, they're just kind of flying around. So again, you can rotate through the random seeds as well, so you can find something that works for you. So this is the basic idea. We're creating these particles and we're referencing geometry looking pretty good. Now, one quick thing we want to do. Now, because we have material IDs, what I want to do is bring out the mapping node and just put it out there so that it makes sure to reference the correct faces for the next step. So we'll close that. Now, what we want to do is freeze our particle system. So we'll come over here to the compound objects. We're going to click on the Mesher, and we'll just click on our scene here, and we'll come over here to the Modify tab, and we want to pick an object, which is our particle system, so these green particles. And what it does is it sort of references your geometry. So if I slide through, you can kind of see that it moves. And one of the things that we can now do is we can right-click on it and convert it to an editable poly, which will essentially freeze it at that point. So if we hit 6 here real quick, bring the particle system back up, we can just hide our current particle system, and then we'll take our Mesher object, and we may need to rotate it around, and we're going to put it in place of the other system, since now it's actual geometry. So we just kind of stick it in there. And it's indeed frozen, as we can kind of scrub through here and see that. Now I want to make sure that it's in front of that point, that track point right there, so that none of the particle pieces look like they intersect with Sam. So another quick thing that we can do is we can duplicate it. So if we hold down Shift and just drag a piece off, we can make a copy and maybe scale this copy down to create some, like micro particles right here at the impact point. So this is really, this is really up to you. I mean, if you want glass to look, a certain way, just, play around with the settings. Now the other cool thing about this Mesher object is that if we select the object, we can go into the elements and we can actually move some of the particles around. So this one looks like it might intersect, or these pieces look too close to the camera. I can just delete them, move some stuff around so that you can have a shot that, I'd say that's pretty good. Let's see what happens when we take our material. Let's make sure that it inherited the mapping, and it looks like it has. So these particles are certainly patriotic, but I think we want to do something that looks like glass. So we'll click on this second slot here, and we're going to create a glass material. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to set the color to be black, or really close to black. And we'll go down to the map settings, and we want to add in a refraction map. So we'll select that, and we're going to use a ray trace. And this all looks very good, and we'll go up real quick. Probably set it to about 90. And we'll turn on the background there so we can see what's happening. Now, if we look in the extended parameters, we have the index of refraction. So what that allows us to do is create glass that bends or warps the background a little bit more. So we can maybe do 1.9, which is a little unrealistic, but it's not as extreme. And then we'll also set it to be two-sided. So this is our basic setup for this glass material, but we also need to create something for it to reflect. So this is where we have to start getting tricky. Now, in order to make this reflection, we're going to be using a spherical map. So I'm going to take a sphere, draw it in our scene, and it's going to be really, really large. We want it to be basically bigger than all of the stuff in our scene. And then we're going to add a quick modifier to it called normal. And what that does is allows us to flip the normal so that the faces that are inside are actually visible. So we'll hit M, and we want to create another material. So here, this is going to be called the world. And we're going to click on the diffuse slot, and we're going to double click on the bitmap to load a picture. And we have this garage reflection JPEG. Now, it is just a regular picture, although we did make an HDR, the JPEG works just as well. And we'll open it up, and we're going to go ahead and set it to a spherical environment, and we're going to drop it onto the sphere. So if we look at this, you can kind of see this garage world. So our particles will essentially be reflecting this. So we'll go ahead and hit camera. Now, one other thing I want to do to this glass is add a quick bump map. So we'll select that and we'll add a noise. And what this will do is just give the glass a little bit of an uneven surface so that it doesn't look like a perfectly flat piece of glass, since it's sort of a rounded window. All right, let's go and make our alternate material. So we'll just drag this over, and we're going to call this glass dark. And we'll set the refraction down to about 50, and that just makes the material a little darker. We can play around with the, you know, the filter color and see if we can kind of get an interesting look, but that should work for the most part. So then we'll come over here to our multi sub-object material, and we're going to take our first glass material and put it into slot number 1, and that changes it. And then we'll take our second material and put it into slot number 2, and that changes all of those pieces. Now let's render out a quick frame. So we'll go into the render settings and shut off the enable final gather. And we'll just hit F9. So we have our basic setup. We have our glass pieces and we have this background reflection, but I don't want to see the reflection. I just want it to be there. So then I can right click on the sphere, go into the object properties, and uncheck visible to camera. And that way it's visible to the reflections, but we won't actually see it. And then we can set it to display as a box so that it doesn't even interrupt our scene. So if we hit F9 again, then we just have our little pieces and much better. Now, the other thing I want to do is add the actual video into the scene so it can be refracted and reflected. So we'll come over here. We're just going to create a box. Let's see here. And we'll make it, let's see, we want it to be HD, so 1920 by 1080 divided by 10. And we'll just scale this up. And we want this to basically fill the frame, so we'll just move it right here and okay. So then I'm going to hit M, and we're going to create another material, and this is just going to be our video layer, and we'll click on the diffuse, and we'll load in the SAM JPEG sequence, and we'll hit open, okay, and we'll take that material and drop it into the self-illumination channel as an instance, and we'll hit okay, and then we'll turn on the show mapping, and we'll drop this onto that plane. So we can actually see that it's right here. So if I move it around, we have the video that is in our scene. All right, now another thing we need to do is take this video background layer, and first we'll just make it a little brighter. And what I want to do is parent it to the movement of the camera, because if we move around, that video is just staying there. So what we can do is select that and then link it to the position of the camera. So that way, when the camera moves, our whole scene will move, and it'll just work a lot better. Now, I want to take the glass pieces, and I'm going to rotate more towards the camera so that, you know, just so that there's a little bit more excitement going on as the camera moves past. And then another thing we can do is we can go in and maybe delete some of the, you know, pieces that kind of intersect with things we don't want. All right, so this is looking pretty good. We've got our glass pieces, and you know, let's go and take a look. It's looking pretty good for, you know, a pre-composite. But one of the things that we have a problem with is the alpha channel is completely white. So how are we going to composite this in our scene? Well, what we're going to do is select that background video layer that we created, and we're going to go to the object properties, and we're going to set it to not be visible to the camera, but to the reflections and the refractions. So just like with our spherical environment, we'll now be able to render it out. We'll have the nice refracting of Sam's face, and the pieces will be reflecting our spherical map, but now we have a good alpha channel to actually composite. So this is pretty much where we have to render it off. So we'll come over here to the render settings, set it to the range or just the active segment, make it HD 1920 by 1080, and save the files. You can do maybe a TIFF and go ahead and render it off. 16-bit with the alpha channel is probably a good bet. And then just click render. Okay, so here we are back in After Effects, and I've brought in our glass render, and it's looking good. It's got an alpha channel, and I go into the interpret settings real quick, make sure it's set to 24 and straight unmatted, and we'll hit OK. So I'll go ahead and take this and drop it into my comp. Now, I actually rendered it out starting at frame 41, so I'm just going to slide that over. And if we take a quick look, we've got some suspended glass, and you know, the scene is almost there. Now, we'll probably do this last in other tutorials, but I'm just going to do a quick color correction because it's so dark. So just brighten this up a little bit, a little contrast, and add in a little bit of blue, you know, the usual. All right, so that should make it a little bit easier to see. We've got these pieces, and they're looking pretty good. Now, another thing we can do is color correct the glass individually. So we can, you know, we could brighten it up, we could darken the pieces. You know, it's kind of up to you. I think it looks pretty even. You know, we have this slight green tint to it, and, you know, you should be able to color correct it. Now, another idea would be to maybe export a Z depth pass and do like a depth of field on some of the pieces, but you know, that might take a little bit too long. Now, one thing that we're going to do is we're going to take the Sam face comp 3, drop it into a new comp, and then I'm going to hit Control K, and we're going to set the resolution to 960 by 540, so half res. The footage was actually shot at 4K and then down res to HD, so we're sort of doing half of that. And I'll hit OK. And then we'll take the null object that has that tracking data, and we'll copy it, and then we'll paste it into here. Now, if I parent my Sam face footage to the null object, watch what's going to happen. If I scale the null down just a little bit, maybe reframe it here. If I scrub through the video, it almost looks like we're orbiting around it because we basically stabilized the footage to that point by parenting this footage to that null object, we basically create a stabilization right around Sam's face. So let's take a quick look at this. So it just gives it a much more three-dimensional look as we fly around the scene. But the real power of this is the ability to integrate 3D elements and objects into your shot using that cool 2D to 3D tracking method that we did earlier. So really think about all the different things that you can do. It doesn't even have to be a time freeze necessarily, but just some, you know, elements that are suspended. I hope this tutorial has been useful. Of course, check out the blog. We've got a lot of cool experiments and a lot of interesting posts from time to time. And also the forum. So if you're using Maya or Cinema 4D and you're not quite sure how to translate some of the steps or whatever, feel free to post a topic. And there's a lot of great people on there that I'm sure would be willing to help out. Be sure to check that out. I'm Andrew Kramer, and we will see you next time.